wasn't revolutionary. Uber's evolutionary. He made himself equal in a capacity of getting a ride. Right? You still have to call up the ride. You still have to meet somewhere. He made himself equal, and then...
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
One of the big things that I'm starting to see a lot within the industry is that people are doing what everybody else is doing. And so in your opinion, how do you think a business can stay relevant and not a commodity within their own industry?
Yeah, I have a simple rule when it comes to that. I make myself equal first. Make myself equal, then I make myself different. So that delta, that margin is truly the value that I provide. But what we don't want to do is discount the fact of what everyone else is doing. Right? It's okay to do things better, but you have to focus and make yourself equal to, and then make yourself different. If you go ahead, I know Blue Ocean thing, they're still doing things equal to what the other person is, and they change it. So Uber would be a very dramatic thing that's happened, right? A shared economy, changed the world. Actually, Bradley Tusk was on my podcast last week, who was the political guy that they hired for stock, so that they could change the laws about medallions and taxi driving, et cetera. But think about this. All they really did, it wasn't revolutionary. Uber's evolutionary. He made himself equal in a capacity of getting a ride. Right? You still have to call up the ride. You still have to meet somewhere. He made himself equal, and then he made himself better. Right? That's how Uber was formed. So I think romanticizing and, you know, the way that people frame and market certain industries and certain solutions, they make it seem like, oh, this is just purely outside. I thought of things completely different. No, you didn't, right? You know, it's not some like, you know, teletransportation, you know, like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and you come out like the little dude, you know, they gotta stretch you, right? It's not, it's still a taxi with an app, right? It just made it better. And I think it's important for us to look at the reasons that they're doing it, the impacts, the capabilities, look at the math side of it and say, because I find myself with the industry really being more interested, asking people about their industry, because where people make their money is on margin. Margin occurs in the subtleties, right? So you can exponentially scale in a margin when you can find a little bit of a margin that someone else can't find. And then imagine you just focus in on that little bit of a margin. We were discussing opportunity where you have just merch. Merch has been around. I'm in the sports industry. It seems to be a very popular thing. I can't tell you how many kids ask me. I got a t-shirt company. How can they make money in t-shirt? But yet Drama, right? A good friend of mine, Drama makes money with merch. Why? Still merch. You can go, you know, quality, but there's some nuance that you can do better. I'll give you another example on my TV show of looking at things. There was a kid who pitched me. His family had a manufacturing in China. So one of the differences that he has is quality control, because a big issue in China that I can't trust is no matter how good the business seems, if that product arrives in America and it sucks, or a portion or percentage of them suck, there goes your profit. So one of the things I liked about the difference in his business was they manufactured, so he owns the company. He's personally liable for the quality control. That meant something to me. But here's what he did that's different. He's a furniture company. So he starts describing the furniture and says his material's better, which so much, it's hard to distinguish your educated market if my material's better than yours, because they have to experience it. And if enough people experience it, you really have to have a huge marketing budget or sampling budget. But he tells me that his product is better. And then he has an automatic cover for outdoor furniture that's attached in that it goes over to save it. And I said, that's different, okay. But still, I didn't want to invest. And then he said something really cool. I said, how are you gonna market and sell this? He said, well, we have a unique model. We have home showrooms. I'm like, what's a home showroom? He said, when you buy our furniture, you have the option to be a home showroom. So if you're a home showroom, we'll give you a discount and you can, We can post your backyard as somewhere that people can come by appointment and look at the furniture in your backyard, and you can sell your friends and families when you have parties and make commissions. You actually can, you have your own home furniture business. And I said to him, I said, I really don't care about that. It's called outer.com. I don't care about the backyard business, but if you can own the customer to now let their house be a showroom. I can sell security systems, TVs, inside furniture, outside barbecues. It's just going to grow and grow and grow. Once again, all he did was make himself equal. And one little nuance, which I think is genius, a home showroom to incentivize people to buy your product. And it's basically an MLM, yep. Right? Multi-level. This is the way people can make money. A little subtle change. It's not revolutionary, but it's really smart. And now, how does that happen? Most people won't explain to you how, right? They love the what and they love the why and get you all fired up on the why. You know, follow your passion, follow your dreams. Excuse my language, but fuck that. You can get passionate about it. I get passionate about taking the trash out, and I do. Right? There's nothing special about it. I get passionate because I say to myself, what do I want most now? Well, I'm a pretty active person, productive and accessible. I'd like just a few minutes a day where I can take by myself time to think about what I want. So I use the trash now as my excuse. So instead of being pissed off that my wife has control over me and I'm putting myself as inferior because she's guilting me into taking the trash out, or maybe it was my mom when I was young, all this negative energy, I turn to take the trash out and do a superpower. Hey, can I take your trash out for you? And like my wife's friend's like, are you kidding? I mean, this guy's not just extremely good looking. He's that nice. No, just the opposite. No wonder you married him. But think about it. It's just all up here. You've got to infuse the passion into it. So how do we do this? Right? How do we do this? This is how we do it. Look at it pragmatically. Look at your business pragmatically. Look at what are the reasons that everyone else is doing it, the impact it has, and the capabilities that they have. And if you pay attention to the what, not forget the why. I can teach you in 2 seconds to put why into anything. If you look at what you're doing and then how they're doing it. Because you said everybody's doing it, right? I'm sorry, right. Everyone's doing it. Look how they're doing it. And if you pay attention to it, long enough every day, lowering the bar. I guarantee you, in your digital marketing business, applying what I'm talking about here, if you just spend a minimum of 3 minutes a day, 7 days a week, within 14 days, you will figure out a blue ocean strategy for your own business. I know George, I've taught him to focus, because what happens is, if you pay attention to something long enough, every day, it elevates the awareness or the vibration of it, and things become simple, and that harnesses the power of intention. So there's a huge field of intention. And I've been talking a lot about currency, right? So think about things in currency state. Everybody knows money's a currency, right? So if I go to a store with my currency and you told me that bottle was $4 and I had $4, I could put the energy, the current into the currency, the flow, and I would get that back. Does everybody believe that to be true? And it's very obvious. Well, I'm here to tell you that action, faith, belief, all those things are currencies. They are an energy, the same way that money is an energy. And if you put it into the current, right? So a currency is an object that goes through a current, an energy flow. So belief, thought, action are currencies that go through a current. But the only difference is there's an entire humongous store up there with everything already that exists. And some people aren't aware of it. They aren't aware of all the things in the store. It's like so many aisles, you're not aware that, oh my gosh, they have, you know, vegan toothpaste. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Yes, they do have vegan toothpaste. I didn't know that they had taxi rides with an app. I didn't know, you know, that they had, you know, drones that can deliver whatever. I didn't know they had a tunnel that you can go. I didn't know that they had a boat that could be made of steel because only wood floats. I didn't know. Nope, it's up there in the big store. And what do we use? We use our actions, our thoughts, our beliefs as currency. And I think, most importantly, I use my faith. Faith is a currency to me that I am faithful that if I put all of those things into the current, that I'm going to get what I want without trying to take it, without trying to make it, simply allowing it to happen by focusing all my value, all my energy into that current of being of service, of providing value. And it all happens through attention. Watch what happens. Pick anything you want to pay attention to for a minimum of 3 minutes a day. Watch how you can harness the power. Watch how different it looks to you. It'll just look different. Pick any inanimate object if you wanted, you know, for example, that camera over there, which I have never really paid too much attention to. But if I gave that camera a minimum of 3 minutes of my attention, I'd learn a lot about it and it would mean something different to me, right? Because I give meaning to everything I see. I would know how that microphone works. If I'm paying attention to it, I'd know the weight of it. I don't know any of that right now. But if I do, I'm raising my awareness. And if I learned about it, utilizing all my past experiences, all my powers of channeling, all the things that I do, I might think of something, wow, you know, I saw this business once and I could use that camera for this. I never knew it did that. The problem is most people get so unifocused, all they know is their accounting. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making the playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.